started realizing how commercialized and corporatized, as you mentioned before, our food is, you know, watching Food Inc. and watching some of these other documentaries. And that was kind of the start of it for me. That was kind of like, wait a minute, you know, nobody told me about this. What else don't I know about it? And then as I ran into Bob and other people, my mind was always open because I knew there were other things going on. I just didn't, you know, you only have so much time per day. You have to do this, you really have to focus on it. You know, you've got to live your life. You've got to go to your job. You've got to take your shower. You got to eat. You got to sleep. And so you got to try and fit this in somehow. It's got to be. You got to make it a priority. And so for that, I salute you.
Well, it's just kind of like what if that movie, the movie Network, where Howard Beale was basically saying, "Why can't you just leave us alone? Give us our televisions, our TVs, our toaster oven, and our steel belted radios, and you know, just leave us alone." And you know, there's days where I will admit. There are days where I kind of think that way, where I just want to be left alone and I want to live my life. I want to go to work. I want to come home or go out and do my thing. But then I get reminded that this great experiment, the United States, there's things that are in that don't allow that to happen.
And yeah, we're not supposed to allow that to happen.
Well, exactly.
Hey, we got a caller. You guys want to take a caller here?
Sure.
Here we go. Good evening. Hello.
Hey, this is Julius from L.A.
Hey, Julius. Good to hear you.
Hey, you know, the Supreme Court gave corporations the right of free speech. I mean, they couldn't have made it more clear that democracy in America is dead. It's done with. It's over. We must, you know, we have to rise up like the courageous Iranian people to fight our fascist government, to take it back from the corporations. I agree with your guest that, yeah, most Americans, they want to stay asleep, you know? They don't want to take the red pill. They want the blue pill, right? Because if you're awake, then you got to do something, right? You got to fight the evil and the corruption, right? And that's scary. And most Americans, they just don't have the cojones to do that, to deal with that, right? So they just rather stay asleep. You know, that terror attack Friday, on Christmas Day, it was a success. Even though the bomb didn't go off, it was an absolute success.
For the government, yeah.
Well, maybe so, but it definitely terrified the American people. And maybe that's what the government wanted, you know, people to be terrified again, right? Maybe the government is, yes, right, trying to terrify the American people, keep them terrified, you know?
Well, that's what terrorism is. Terrorism really is government-sponsored terrorism. That's what terrorism is. It's government-sponsored.
People are mad at the fact that Barack Obama sent 40,000 troops off to Afghanistan. Let's reinforce the terrorism argument again.
Yeah, I can't stop watching this story on cable news. It's compelling because, you know, allegedly our government was so stupid that it's just mind-boggling, right? I mean, I'm just watching it with an open mouth, drooling.
Right? Well, they try to make their employees look stupid. Yes, it's part of the game. It's part of the game.
Allegedly, they were so stupid that, you know, you have to wonder if Obama is not behind it, or if Obama is behind it, right? I mean, because it's just hard to believe that anybody could be as stupid as they allegedly have been to allow this terror attack to happen, you know? And, you know, you got to wonder, is Obama deliberately not trying to capture Osama to keep the Afghanistan war going?
Well, we don't really believe that Osama's even alive any longer. They never wanted to capture him. They wanted to use his name to perpetuate this global war on terrorism. Another caller. Can I let you go?
Let me just say one quick thing,
sure.
You know, Reed, it was no accident that he voted no on his own health care bill. Talk about a Freudian, right? He knew how evil it was, how corrupt it was, So he couldn't help voting no for his own evil health care bill. That just cracked me up to no end. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you, Julius. Okay, here's our next caller. Good evening.
Hi. Is this KRXA?
Yes, this is Bob Oliver, and we've got Cass Swenson and Bruce on the line here.
Okay. Are we on the air right now?
We are.
Oh, we are?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Guess there's a delay and I'm all confused. I'm back.
That's right. You're going to have to listen to us and not the radio or the computer.
Right. Yeah, so it's John here in Canada, and I'm listening to you guys. And, you know, the answers seem really easy, and yet it's really difficult at the same time. I think what we're lacking is leadership. We have to understand that to effectively defend our freedoms, we need justice on our side. And all principles of justice have been, like, completely thrown out the window. And as you were saying, you know, they tried to say that everybody's incompetent. Well, that includes all the people also, because Bush, according to the FBI, Robert Wright in particular, but other FBI officers have said the same, sort of Tom Daschle on Meet the Press with the late Tim Russert, and ABC News reported on this, that immediately after the terrorist attack occurred, Bush and Cheney diligently worked to close investigations. You know,
right.
So that's the central error of our ways. Like, people will go, well, he's just a puppet. Well, he's exercised our police agencies to not pursue the actual bad guys, and primarily because if we do follow what the FBI were doing, they had discovered that Muhammad Atta, at that time he was alleged to be the mastermind ringleader, the guy running the whole show, the only guy who really knew what was transpiring in totality, received a wire transfer on behalf of General Mahmoud Ahmad, who was at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11. You know, working likely with Condoleezza Rice, because Jim McWishewski at MSNBC also revealed to us through an anonymous source who provided him the top secret presidential war strategy documents coming from her desk, Condoleezza Rice's, that they had this thing together 2 days prior to the event going down when the generals at the White House, who also is responsible to go to the Taliban to let them know no evidence will be brought against the accused.
Hmm.
So that's the reality. That's the truth. So we go, well, they're controlling our minds, and it's corporatists are ruling over ourselves. And in a sense, I guess they are. But also, we can answer this very easily. You know, what soldier or citizen is going to say, yeah, we don't want to pursue the bad guys, because we already know, as Bush told us, we don't need any evidence. We know for sure Bin Laden's guilty. But if you're not going to pursue any crime scenes, then what if he had any accomplices? You're going to let those guys escape scot-free? We know they were directly complicit in the mass murder of American citizenry on that day of question. They had it planned out prior, according to Jim McWishewski, as I say. Plus, they had made threats to the Taliban if they didn't acquiesce their nation to the will of Enron, who wanted that liquefied natural gas pipeline. They were just going to bomb the country, you know, and that's pretty good circumstantial evidence. But we have them rock solid to the wall on the fact that Bush has closed investigations. How are we ever going to get the bad guys then? You know, it's hypnosis. They cajole us with fear.
I'm going to interrupt and just say,
sure,
but they, how are they going to do that? They are the bad guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and plus, we are the people. We are the government. You know, people want to say, well, it's us against the government. And as I heard Alex Jones say too many times, you know, it's the UN is all corrupt. They're all bad, and all the government's bad. Well, we can't form a warrant for arrest to say we're arresting all the government, all the UN. We have to, again, establish probable cause for criminal events transpiring, and the crime that Bush for sure is guilty of, all soldiers would adhere to this, otherwise they'd be known as traitors to their family and friends. He's guilty of obstruction to so he's complicit in the 9/11 terrorist act of like I say, not
so
pursuing the actual true bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
No, Bush also prevented the investigations before 9/11, threatening the FBI agents with losing their jobs or even imprisonment if they were to investigate Al-Qaeda.
Absolutely. W199I was put in place originally with Clinton, but Connie Chung on CNN, just before she lost her job, told us that she had been made aware that three officers in the CIA, I'd assume it's likely Colfer Black because he likes to torture children to death or, you know, innocent people to escape the bad guys, but three individuals at the CIA received $10 billion to do Al-Qaeda investigations just prior to 9/11, and yet all FBI officers are forbidden and the CIA is forbidden. How can all the police agencies be forbidden from pursuing any suspicious activity by Bin Laden, except for three guys who get $10 billion, and she loses her job. So we know who most of the complicit actors are in this.
So who's gonna arrest them?
That's the conundrum.
Isn't that it? You got
that's
it.
The problem. How are we going to do that? We need leadership. We need people to understand what their rights are. Like if everybody's got to be on the same page to understand. If you have no evidence, the accused is innocent. Torturing innocent people to death is a crime in America. The War Crimes Act put in by Reagan warrants the death sentence, and yet Obama's just pressuring now American prisons to take prisoners without trial. Be held indefinitely without trial. Maybe it's a good thing. No, that's tyranny 101. Like, you know, that's just pure enemies of the Republic who want to assist in the escape of any bad guys. Because if you're not going to establish probable cause and the evidence against the accused, for sure the bad guys are going to escape. And like I say, Kofor Black, he's a self-admitting torturer who's also responsible for some terrorist acts in all kinds of places that he wants to blame KSM for. But they've admitted to, you know, committing terrorist acts in Pakistan, for example, and they're a private company. What's a private company doing? Arresting people, torturing them? You know, he changes hats. He says, well, I'm with the CIA when I torture children, and now when I take your money, I'm working for a private company. He's got to be arrested.
Say that word again.
Yeah.
Conundrum. Did I say it right? Was I even close?
Oh, yeah. That's the struggle. I've talked to all kinds of great police officers in Canada, the top security apparatus, actually, the National Security Branch of Canada. And, you know, whether they like me or don't like me, you can't. And I actually went to court a number of years ago in 2002 against Bush, Rumsfeld, and Errol Sharon on this exact question, and won my case because you just can't get around it. They've given us no evidence. And then Bush, of course, said, you're either with him or we're with the terrorists, but we can't form our own conclusions? No. If you try to, you'll be a terrorist, you know? Like, all the principles of the Magna Carta and, you know, the Bill of Rights are just totally out the door.
Well,
like,
that's what Patriot Act is all about. Redefine the definition of terrorism. Your next door neighbor could be a terrorist because he disagrees with the president.
There you go.
And before you know it, when they start labeling people as enemy combatants,
yep,
that's where the concentration camps come in.
Right.
And that's where people get sent away when they start making noise.
But yeah, we're not
that's what
there
this is
yet.
All about. We're not there yet. But I think within 20 years we'll be there.
Well, Obama is campaigning to put American prisoners in jail indefinitely without trial today. It's in Illinois, you know, and they say, well, don't worry about an American. It will be just an illegal enemy combatant. But they can designate you that at any time, because if the system no longer requires you to have ID or you have an arrest warrant or anything, they put anybody in there. And again, we know the guys who are running the show are war criminals, like Kofor Black. He's the top torturer here, and he's tortured Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's two children. He's admitted to torturing, and nobody's seen them, so they're likely tortured to death. And we know that, you know, he's got no interest in arresting General Lamad, who's completely free. When he was confronted with this information, he said, or the stories were, that he resigned in embarrassment. And he did resign. And, you know, legitimately maybe was embarrassed, but he's financed the terrorist strike, and he's gone completely unapprehended. And, of course, if Bin Laden did do the terrorist crime, as those who are fooled by Fox News and others would claim, how did he get the explosives into World Trade Center 7? You know, we have video of liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water. It's on video. You can't dispute the video. It's a fact. The building came down without a plane hitting it. How did he get the explosives in there? Because we would have thought it had been Laden, of course, with his dialysis machine going up and down the elevator. He would have had to have had an accomplice. And they said, no accomplices, no investigations. You can't let the FBI do their job. And these several FBI officers who have come forward and spoken have done it courageously and have told us, you know, look, this is, almost said, this is an inside job. They don't want to go after the bad guys. We're being threatened with arrest if we speak on the issue. And then we had the great John O'Neill murdered on 9/11, who at the tower, who was investigating Al-Qaeda prior with the coal bombing, for example. It was Barbara Bodine who sent the coal in there against the admiral's wishes, who said the place is going to get blown up. It's not a secure port. Why would we park it in there? And she insisted that it be put in there. And then she's the same person, the very same person who demanded the immediate closing of criminal investigations. So similarly, like with Bush, you know, he has a plan to a top secret prison. presidential directive strategy, top secret, nobody's allowed to know. He's responsible for putting this plan together with Condoleezza Rice, and then he's personally responsible for closing investigations.
I got to get a word in edgewise here. You are a very good speaker, and I'd like to have you on sometime. So let me give you my phone number and give me a call.
For sure, for sure.
But what we can affect, now I heard you said you took these guys to court, but when we can't even accomplish that in our civil courts, in our local jurisdictions, that's the problem that we have right now, and that's where we can change that.
Yeah.
If we can change the tune here, then the guys on the top are going to start to cave.
Yeah,
that's what it takes.
Yeah,
it takes activism at this level, and, you know, it means now.
And we do go back to the phones with one of our good friends from the north. Yeah,
right,
do it. Blame them. We don't care. Yes, we do. We do need to form a full assault. But right now, we're going to turn it over to John in Canada, the very famous John in Canada. How's it going, John?
It's going pretty good, I guess. I don't know. You know, it's another battling day, though. We got to fight back against this evil, or we're all going to be done for, I suppose. You know, I wanted to comment on two questions that you, well, one question you'd asked regarding why UK is so crazy, and then maybe the just a quick comment, if I can, on why Rumsfeld's strategy was to let Bin Laden escape scot-free. UK, the reason it's so crazy there is Peter Power did the London bombings of 7/7, and it's that madness that we recognize. You know, some people can't intellectually grasp it. You tell them. Peter Power tells us he had a mock terror drill at the same time, the same location, where all those people were indiscriminately slaughtered, and a large percentage of our of the human condition just can't get it, and they go, wow, that's a real coincidence, eh?
John, hold on one second. John. Okay, sorry. That sucks. Sorry about that. I don't know if Peter Powers necessarily did that just because he was holding that operation. Wasn't he told? Wasn't his company the company that did those operations? Wasn't he told, you know, on that day we need some type of false military operation, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. It's the idea of justice is that you follow probable cause. What's the probable cause for this event transpiring? He says he doesn't want to tell us who hired him to do the bombings, but it's impossible. He is directly connected to the crime of question. He might have been conned. He might have been hired by the guys who pulled it off to have him run cover. No matter what, he's the probable cause. You have to arrest him. You have to ask him questions. He has to go to court. And we have to track the evidence from his position because his is the probable cause of the event transpiring. It's not coincidence. It's either he was directly complicit knowingly or he wasn't. Either way, he has to be arrested. And he, in court, a prosecutor would put forward the best case they had. But he, of course, would speak because with the laws on our side, they would be able to summon records as to who actually hired him and what their operation was all about. Because we have Menendez, his mother was quoted in a newspaper saying that he was working for a security firm. So, you know, all these guys die, and then Menendez, he probably missed work that day, so they had to run him down in the streets and shoot him in the head more than, what was it, 7 or 9 times? You know, and they lied, and we caught them lying over and over and over again. Because they said, well, no, he was running and he had explosives on him, and then we got the videotape to see, what is it, the CCTV tape, and it was all a lie. They lied to us directly because they had to kill this guy because likely he was working for Peter Power. But he needs to be arrested. But anyway, and why Rumsfeld would want to let Bin Laden escape, this was their war strategy as reported by Jim Mikliszewski. If you access his story now, they changed the wording around a little bit, letting us know, no, he doesn't have the documents in his possession anymore. Now it's somebody else. But for years, according to myself, the RCMP, any honorable FBI officer who's been following this case knows that Jim Mikliszewski was provided the top secret presidential directive strategy on how to invade Afghanistan. It's all premised on giving no evidence to back up an allegation, thereby securing invasion for, you know, for whatever cause they had, a liquefied natural gas pipeline, maybe to sell heroin. But the whole premise of it is they're Muslim fundamentalists. So if you accuse Bin Laden to be a terrorist but provide no evidence, they have to, as believers in God, demand some way to form a conclusion. Otherwise, you're persecuting an innocent person. And as a religious devout follower of the Quran, you can't do that because you would be going against jihad. So this was their strategy. And so as a consequence of the 19 hijackers, none of them are Afghanistan. None of them are connected to Al-Qaeda. Later on, they say, well, maybe they might be. If you track it down, none of them are. And it's, in some cases, they're Saudi Arabian pilots who had their identities stolen. So why would Al-Qaeda steal the identities of Saudi Arabian pilots, you know? There's nothing connecting bin Laden to this event, primarily because that's their actual strategy, you know? They don't want to follow the probable cause for how the event transpired. Like, how did liquefied iron start flowing from the tower with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or bin Laden? How did they get the explosives in there? They couldn't have. So this is the thing about following probable cause, trying to figure this stuff out. I don't have all the answers for 7-7. I just know Peter Power must be arrested. It's not a coincidence. He's directly connected to the crime in question. And in addition to that, it is Netanyahu that told us in the British newspapers that he was made aware of the event before it occurred, and him and Giuliani were on the scene. And they asked him, what are you guys doing here? Well, we were told that there was going to be this terrorist bombing. So Netanyahu was informed of this crime going down, and he didn't tell anybody about it. He watched all those people get slaughtered. Again, this is the horror of what we suffer with. People can't handle that reality. They go, oh, I got to find doubt in that in any way possible. I will not look it up. I just will not do it because it's too scary.
Yeah,
those people die. And that's why we suffer, is that we need to be honorable cops. All of us are like police officers. We can all do this for ourselves. We can demand justice to preserve a better day for us all. Otherwise, you know, we're going to keep falling.
Yeah, well, plus, don't forget, too, John, we live in a country. I don't know if the same holds true in Canada, but the United States, it's very simple. You can blame anything on anyone, and people will believe it. However, people will not believe factual information, and they will not do any research. It's just not fun, John, and it's not convenient.
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of the 7-7 thing, it's way beyond a coincidence, the fact that they could actually have drilled the exact same thing that happened on that exact same day.
That's a coincidence, though, man.
Yeah, that exact same day, you know, tying up resources, exact same way that it happened on 9/11 with the false flag military operations happening the exact same day. Literally training for flying airplanes into the World Trade Centers on September 11th,
right.
And it actually ends up happening on that day.
Right.
I mean,
coincidence.
How the hell does that happen? And then it happens again on 7/7. It's very, very clear that these incidents are false flag terror operations.
I had one of the most horrific experiences.
What is this song, by the way?
This
Sorry.
Is
government-sponsored terrorism.
This is John from Canada's theme song. This is the national anthem, Ben.
Of Canada.
Obviously, you don't watch hockey.
No, I don't.
Well,
sorry.
You better start watching hockey. No, I mean, I was talking to someone who has always been one of those deniers, and he just, I would, you know, give him four or five things, you know, that are pretty much questionable as far as 9/11 alone goes. And he goes, no, that never happened. That didn't happen. And I said, well, want me to show it to you? No. Okay, well, how do you know it didn't happen? You know, it really is the belief system in its most purest form.
Mm-hmm.
And John from Canada, I don't know if the same holds true in Canada. I'm not sure if people are as sheep-like there. I hope not. I've been there a couple times, and it doesn't seem like it's like that there, but I don't know if I don't live there. What do you think, John?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's, we have no way of communicating, so it's hard to tell what we feel. You know, there's national broadcaster, just one really, CBC, and when you call there, they want your name and your phone number, and your question will be reviewed by the producers, and they'll call you back if they think your point is worth broadcasting. And it can be recipes on gingerbread cookies. They're not letting anybody in, right? And it's like it is in America, too. I listened to America Overnight the other day. I was horrified. I could not believe it. Just caller after caller after caller. Don't let the terrorists get into court. Don't let them defend themselves. Put them to death. Don't allow this. Don't allow this. And they're just parasites. They're
right.
Enemies of life. But they get on all the national radio programs. And I can't get on there. You know, like, what do I got to do to get people to join this cause that is surely just as soon to be yourself also, man? We got to find a way to communicate on CNN and go look. Bush closed 9/11 investigations, according to the FBI. I think they need to be reopened. Who disagrees with that? Any soldier out there? I doubt it.
No,
we're being conned, and we can defeat these guys.
Yeah, break coming up here, John. Hang on, and I would agree. I think there needs to be a tremendous investigation, and unfortunately, I do feel that people are just, they don't care anymore. It's such a long time ago for them. It's just in the past. You have so much of that day influences what's going on today. Stay tuned. More of The Farm and more of John Kennedy.
God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Animal Farm Radio Show, everybody. Don't be alarmed. You can find us on the web, animalfarmshow.com.
No one cares.
I understand that, but I got to do it as part of the show. I got to do it anyway.
We have to promote.
And plus, it takes up time. But I also want to get back into content. And we were speaking to, with John from Canada, the legendary John from Canada. And John, I mean, making the points, so many good points, as always. The two in particular that I can let you kind of keep going on is just how many coincidences does it take for logic people to, kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together. And I think the one thing, we've all asked that ourselves a question. We constantly think about, how can we get people to wake up? How can we get people into people's brains? And I guess kind of get the information to them so that they could use it themselves. I think the problem is that we're not understanding fully that people don't really care.
Yeah.
Even if you can make them believe it somehow, I really don't think that there are, I think a majority of people just don't give a rat's ass because it doesn't affect their little nucleus, their little bubble. And I want to let John from Canada kind of run with that. John, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's for sure true. But it's also a defensive mechanism, I think, too. Also, like I've heard a soldier say similarly, he was asked, Bush closed 9/11 investigations. You were conned to go into Iraq. They were no threat, and whatever. But the soldier was asked, don't you feel like you got some obligation to defend America and everything else? And then he said he doesn't care. I think it's just a defensive mechanism, largely through people that might be. I don't know what it is. I don't know, man. These are big, infinite questions. The answer resolves peace in our world forever, maybe, Like, these are so difficult to answer. I just know that soldiers are supposed to be committed to defend themselves, and they're being suckered. But they don't have the will, or they don't have the intellectual strength to speak in their own defense. And their commanders, of course, aren't either. I mean, we got, you'd think these commanders in Afghanistan would be ordering soldiers to defend women's rights from rape, like they've legalized rape. Can't you take a position for freedom there? No, apparently not, and they're shipping in the heroin, endlessly, and nobody there is even saying anything, They don't even have the courage to say anything, and yet these are the guys that are the most courageous, heroic. Well, what are you doing? We're at a mess. But I think the answer is words and communicating to others, because, like I say, there might be soldiers there that are terrified of standing up for the defense of the great American flag. But if you're on a national broadcast, you go, look, any soldier even disagree, come forward or speak anonymously. I don't think we're going to get any voices. I think this is what we're fearful of: the true nature of what our reality is. Polls are bogus. They're just bogus. Like, when presidential election polls, for example, when Bush and Gore ran, it was 49-51, 51-49. It's always like that. And why? Because to make sure the poll is fair, they make sure that half of the people they're calling are pro-Bush people and half are pro-Gore. Right? And on CNN, you can get the transcripts reading they did a show on how the polls are done, and they explained it directly to us over the television. And yet people go, oh, well, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, I guess to keep it fair, well, what are you measuring then? You're getting exactly what you're looking for, 49-51. And if you think about the reality of Bush in his first run at that, he's a complete incompetent. He doesn't know anything about economics, doesn't know anything about law, doesn't know what's going on around him. All he knows is there's ways of making money off of our suffering and great sorrows. He's clearly not qualified, but he wins twice. And now Palin. She's going to make her stab at it, and she stole the horrors that I live with, as you might be imagining. I kind of have to live with these crazy episodes of reality, where Palin is actually responsible for stealing the money for the Bridge to Nowhere money. She actually stole that cash. This is the kind of demon she is. She gets up on stage and says how terrible it is for these earmarkers, and
yeah,
she's going to make the change, and these global elites are going to go down. And she's the biggest thief of them all.
Yeah, I think other than being a weatherman in this country, John, I got to tell you, the easiest job has to be being a politician. You don't even have to be a good liar anymore. All you have to do is be somewhat good-looking and be able to speak, and you pretty much got the job.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah Palin
is sad.
She's the bottom of the barrel in terms of our politicians. She's really, she represents the ignorant, stupid America so well. You know, the lady doesn't even understand what publications she reads. She can't even answer a damn question in regards to that. I mean, holy crap.
Oh, that woman. Got a mouth like an outboard motor. All the time.
Exactly. That's what it is. You know, that one speech that night, you know, took the nation by storm. And once again, I want to thank John from Canada. Great call, as always. And the other thing I want to point out, too, and I was on Cordy's show last week, Friday. You know, we're very easily forgetting the fact that over 131,000 veterans every single night are homeless and hungry on the streets of America. Yet, as John pointed out, they don't have a voice on the mainstream media. You never hear veterans really being interviewed. Once in a while, they'll bring some group of dudes in, look like they're robots, and it's like, well, you know, we got to free them people. We got to help them over there.
Well, this is
other than that, you never get anything.
No, you don't. And this is actually really good right here. A veteran actually attacked Cindy Sheehan. I don't know if you saw this video.
I saw the headline. I didn't see the video. What happened?
Well, I don't know. She was protesting with a bullhorn. He comes up and you know, puts his face directly into the bullhorn, which I don't know how you can do.
That's what real men do.
Yeah.
John, are you there?
Hey, Scott. Yeah, I sure am.
Well, I appreciate your call. I mean, you know, sometimes it's astounding to me that, you know, where this gets picked up. But thank you for your call. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm just kind of chorusing what you're saying, too. You know, you were going on about ignorance is not bliss. You know, we're dying for our lack of knowledge on some of these core issues that are costing real people's lives. You know, the bailout is, you know, I was just watching actually Frontline, an episode last night. I'm trying to remember what it was. The Meltdown, I think it was called. And it sort of glossed very quickly over the fact that this is all based on criminal fraud. You know, they fraudulently created mortgage securities by fraudulent means, saying that something was AAA rated when really it was, they knew it was worth less than zero because it was a con from the get-go. But bailing them out makes no sense. You know, it's extortion. They're saying if we don't give them money, they're not going to give us credit. Well, that's not how the credit, that's not even how the system works anyway. And plus, you know, they did all this crime, and like AIG, for example, they sold a whole bunch of insurance that they couldn't cover through, again, all based on all kinds of criminal misdeeds that have gone unaddressed as unarrested. And we bail them out to pay back the debts they owe while they bleed us dry, as it was with Bear Stearns. They took all the cash out of the bank and say, well, it's all empty now. All you got is these pieces of paper called derivatives, and they make it complicated so the general person can't even understand. But I was listening last night on GCN, a radio program, I think it's America Overnight or something, and people are calling up and going, yeah, don't let anybody speak about justice for 9/11. KSM shouldn't have an opportunity to defend himself. He should just be put to death. And just an endless stream of people who say it's un-American to demand justice in our days, because truly we can tell by their intellects they could never compete, never. So they'd rather kill your family, sacrifice all of America before having to humble themselves that there are police officers who do good work to defend ourselves as what justice truly is, freedom. We need justice, otherwise we have no freedom. And we have FBI officers who tell us immediately after 9/11, and so did Senator Daschle tell us this, and it was reported on Meet the Press with Tim Russert, that immediately after 9/11, Bush and Cheney worked diligently to close outstanding criminal investigations designed since the dawn of time to nab the true bad guys, the true evildoers, and then told the Taliban, we don't need any evidence. We already know he's guilty.
You know, John,
that same mentality. We can't form a conclusion to understand really what we're all about here.
You know, John, you have so many good points you're making, and about this criminal activity that's like an onion. You peel the layers off, and you peel them off, and you peel them off, and you're really never quite to the core. But this criminal activity, I mean, whether it's financial or the way the nation's being basically betrayed at the baseline levels. I've got a question for you, though. You're a Canadian, and you've certainly heard about the Security and Prosperity Partnership and this new national leadership, council, North American Leadership Council that they're putting on. What do Canadians feel about this idea of erasing the borders between all three countries?
Well, we really aren't allowed to communicate very well.
Really?
You know, we have, it's really crazy, man. It's really hard to believe if you're not trying to be politically active in Canada. CBC, for example, is one of our own only national radio programs. And when you call on their 1-800 number, they take your name, your address, they write down your question. No matter if you're talking about gingerbread cookies, this is the protocol. They want your name, your address, your phone number. They're going to review your question with the producers and call you back, maybe. So stand by your phone. And they're threatening when they, yeah, what did you want? You know, when they're like Sean Hannity's call screener. They're like very threatening. Just whoever you are, you cannot be, you know, they're right on you instantly. So you can't bring up any subject that they don't approve of. So there's all kinds of criminality. And okay, so we have that on the national level. And on a local level, we have like in almost every province, it's the same thing. There's just one radio station, you know, and they take huge amounts of corporate bribes through criminal malfeasance also, particularly our lotteries is a really big criminal arm of this entire operation where all the one radio station in the 10 provinces will take bribes from the lotteries to not talk about the lotteries, and it means huge amounts of money, millions and millions of dollars they take, and so they don't talk about how that math is done or how the banking is done, anything is done. We talk about football and hockey all the time, and there's no ability to form a consensus on defending ourselves from war criminals, you know? You know, we have some good times, some bad times, but the whole government will acquiesce instantly if there's any threat they perceive to their financial future. So, for example, an American soldier came to Canada and says, look, I'll defend America to the death. I want to hunt down terrorists, but I'm not going to willfully commit a criminal offense against an innocent other. I've taken an oath to God and country. I cannot willfully commit a war crime against innocent peoples. And this was his position. Do not send me back to America. They're going to put me into prison as a real freedom fighter. And our government immediately sent him into prison. You know, like, they're not human. How would you... You know, it's not that you're arguing against the soldier to say, oh, I just disagree with you. That soldier is the honorable guy. Similarly with Lieutenant Watata. Lieutenant Watata said nearly the same thing. But our whole government just sent him into prison. You know, oh, no, you're going to jail, man. Don't let this soldier speak for freedom in our day. You know, he's got to feel the blunt oppression of false imprisonment and maybe torture. Who knows?
You know
that's another thing. You know, Reagan was the guy who put down in law with the War Crimes Act that any torturer deserves a death sentence. No matter where you go, if you take, as you see it, so-called CIA, really Blackwater, has taken 1,000 flights out of America to torture people in third world military conditions, Reagan said that warrants a death sentence. You have to, all Americans, all soldiers, all police officers have to hunt those individuals down responsible for that and be put to, and they have to be put to death for that specific crime.
Yeah.
Because you're not following the crime scene leads in any real murder scenes. You're falsely accusing somebody that you can't establish by the facts to cover up the escape of the actual bad guys that did you wrong, like with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. I don't know, the FBI, where's the connections? I mean, we know that the FBI alleged that Mohammed Atta was funded by General Mahmoud Ahmad, who was at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11, the same date and time that Condoleezza Rice, according to Jim Mikuláczewski, was working on their invasion of Afghanistan plan. So the guy who's at the White House working on at the same time and date at the same time they're working on the invasion of Afghanistan plan is the guy who finances the alleged mastermind ringleader. So no, we're going to call Khalid Sheikh Mohammed the mastermind ringleader now. But Atta was the mastermind ringleader up until these revelations came forward. But we can see, like, I can hear, I know what I'm speaking, and I listened to, like I said last night on America Overnight. These people don't want free communications. They do not want justice. They talked, you know, specifically, do not let this guy speak. What if he's found to be innocent, you know? If he's tried under military tribunal, we know he'll be put to death. Well, how do you know he's even guilty? You have no evidence to form your conclusion. It's only in faith that they steal our rights this way. People in blind faith and terrified of the universe go, yeah, I want the military dictatorship to think for me. I can't understand this stuff, and I refuse to humble myself to any man or woman alive that's studied and read books and things.
Well, John,
and that's what it seems like, you know.
You know, you're right, and I do thank you for your call, because we really do have a lot of challenges in this, our nation, and certainly your nation, it sounds like, too. And the reason, I'm concerned that, Americans sometimes don't seem to care. Maybe Canadians do. And the fact that I asked the question about whether Canadians like this Security and Prosperity Partnership or not, and the new North American Leadership Council.
Yeah, we wouldn't. Yeah, we wouldn't, but it's just, it's so hard to find a national voice in Canada on anything, you know.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
our national newspaper says all children just love Ritalin. We got to keep giving them Ritalin, because when we talk to a 14-year-old child, this 14-year-old child says they can't live a day without it. There's
John,
your proof, and that was a front-page story. That's the proof.
We've got to take a break now, John, so I do appreciate your call, though, and I'll talk a little bit longer about this after the break. So we appreciate everybody and their willingness to help us preserve this nation. But thanks for your call, John, and we'll be right back after the break. Thanks.
To what's on the news, terror attacks. On his way to Detroit, Flight 253, lighting fireworks, firecrackers. Somebody tackles them. They're on CNN. Ooh. Right on cue, the holidays. And there are other things to talk about as well, and we will. I'm running out of time tonight. I actually think I could do 4 hours of shows tonight now. I don't know. I just woke up now. I'm like, there's just so much going on. And it's important to put it in perspective. It's important to talk about it. Here's another one from Natural News. Just 16 ships expel as much pollution as all the cars in the world. We definitely got to talk about that. That is just some explosive information. They actually use an extremely low grade of fuel. And that's why they are expelling more amounts of sulfur into the air. And so that's just crazy. John in Canada has called in. We've got our phones working tonight. Hello, John.
Hey, Alex.
Good evening.
Great show. Yeah, like you're saying, you know, there's billions of people out here, and depending on what issue we're talking about, but a lot of these issues are very simple to resolve. It's just we're failing to communicate. So some new way of communicating amongst ourselves is our answer. You know, like, why is it that fluoride's in our drinking water? It's a carcinogen. It's arguably by some effective way of cleaning your teeth, but we're swallowing it. You know, people say you're going to swallow it to protect your teeth. That doesn't work that way. It's a carcinogen. It's a poison. You know, it affects the biochemistry of our bodies in bad ways. It destroys the organs and stuff. How come we're lost on that issue? Stuff like that, you know? So I think the answer is in the way we discourse amongst ourselves with this labeling system that truly doesn't mean much of nothing. You know, even a lot of people say, well, we got to get away from the dichotomy of left wing, right wing. And a lot of the people will say that and say, yeah, and don't you forget that, you liberals and you socialists out there. Don't you forget that. And that's what's wrong is when we talk to a group, you know, it's a falsehood of our minds when we can't look at everybody as an individual with rights to be respected. You know, like so a lot of Republicans over this last couple of days were talking about Obama's this extreme left-wing socialist. Well, you know, whatever. He's stolen a ton of cash through a crime called extortion with these banksters. You know, he's sabotaged health care. You know, what has that got to do with being a socialist? And then that terminology means nothing either. Like, liberal is the better example. In Australia, liberals are an extreme right-wing party. In Canada, they're a right-wing party, too, who put American soldiers in prison for refusing to commit a criminal offense, you know, our liberal party. Plus, our liberal party also got rid of the corporate crime division of the RCMP. You know, so what does that label mean to somebody else? You know, that's, I think, where our answers lie, because we can find that there are agreements we could adhere to. There are people that will disagree, but they always got to hide in darkness and pretend they're our friends or pretend they're human, you know, and all these issues. And the biggest one, I think, pertaining to life and death and all this needless suffering is bankers. You know, you were talking about, you know, what is the answer? Ellen Brown's got most of the answers. She's got some really great ideas. And I agree with much of what she says, because it's not
okay.
I don't have to believe in her.
Well, yeah, I just want to bring up Ellen Brown since she wrote an article that I thought about mentioning tonight, where she talked about the possibility of Greece, Iceland, and a few other EU countries. Maybe you read the article as well, John. Talking about them just refusing to pay back the debt that the big bankers are saying that they owe. And, you know, she's talking about the possibility of them being a model possibly for revolution against the bankers. some sort of a refusal to participate in the enslavement system that they're constructing for us.
Yeah. Well,
it doesn't really get into detail into what we would do, though, or how it would be. All right, go ahead. It doesn't really get into detail, though, into how that would actually happen.
I'm not familiar with those arguments, but I'm familiar with what she said as it pertains to what credit is. Like, we are seriously under hypnosis. People who disagree with me are under hypnosis, or they're learning and they're going, wow. You know, when we go to get a loan at the bank, it doesn't come out of their pocket. It's in our authority. Credit is granted by the will of the nation. Now, under the Constitution, it's supposed to be controlled by the Congress. And in America, it's a bunch of
private... We have a break coming up. Hang on, we have a break. Let me go ahead and read this before we take the break. EU IMF revolt, Greece, Iceland, Latvia may lead the way. Europe's small debt-strapped countries could follow the lead of Argentina and simply walk away from their debt. That would shift the burden to the creditor countries, which could solve the problem merely by a change in accounting rules. This is my female robot, and she stays over the weekend, and this is in the Daily Mail. She speaks multiple languages. The robot cooks for him. I don't know what else. I think I read about him teaching the robot to walk. I'm sure she vacuums. There's different variants of robots as well. The Howard Stern Show. Howard Stern has also promoted his own particular unique flavor of robots. Anyway, going back to John, I'll go ahead and cover that Ellen Brown article some other time. John, go ahead with what you're saying.
Well, I think I know there's just so many issues that can be resolved, and I know I understand the knowledge of just some specific items, and I know the limitations to have what's limiting our abilities to serve justice well is communication. Now, I'm trying to find the right words, and I know for banking, it's the hardest intellectual struggle to convey to somebody else in a real simple way, and it's designed that way, and we've been failing against these crooks for a great many years because of it, but it's so important to understand that the credit that's issued by the bankers is truly ourselves. It's the nation's authority. Now, in America, Your Congress has acquiesced to private individuals who manage for their personal private interests at the loss to the unsuspecting suckers, the victims who are told that they can't handle this intellectual challenge and would rather pay half of their lives to banksters for nothing because, again, they're not lending us the money. So when we look back in September 2008, we can understand that this was a crime of extortion, giving untold trillions and trillions of dollars, plus the Federal Reserve has admitted to misplacing $9 trillion on top of everything else, requires police officers to press charges for criminal fraud. We know that they, in the derivative scams, told investors that this was AAA-rated venture to place their life savings into, but no, they conned you. They lied to us and took all that money, and all these banks went broke. They said, well, all the banks lost all their capital because they're committing this form of fraud where they can substitute the capital in the bank building with these derivative pieces of paper that truly aren't worth anything. So Bear Stearns, for example, when it went bankrupt, all the pension money is gone. But there's $77 trillion in derivatives there that are worthless pieces of paper. They're not worth anything. So that happened again and again, and it's happening today because when Congress is challenged to try to defend ourselves on this issue, they kick the guy out of the room and remove all the comments he's made to the congressional hearing. They don't want people to understand this, because if you did, you'd understand all these people had their homes stolen. You know, the bank never covered the loan to begin with, and then they're going to foreclose on something they didn't put any investment in, but they get to keep it and resell it and pocket the money for themselves. Why would we do that? Ellen Brown, I'm not saying she agrees with much of anything else I talk about. I'm just trying to quote her ideas, which are true. I don't have to when we speak truthfully, it doesn't have to mean that, oh, I have to like John. I'm telling you 1 + 1 = 2. And as she says, we're kind of making a decision here. We're either we can have the private banksters be able to manufacture credit in our name, or we can do it in our own name as it truly exists.
Whether it's a banking issue, we can go on and on all night on this. But whether it's the banking issue or the issue of the war, or the issue of the takeover of the Internet, which they're trying, or the issue of this, that long list, common theme here, it's what we're talking about. The people got to start getting informed. The people need to start becoming aware of some of these facts and figures and get away from the ball games, get away from the hot dogs, all that stuff in the fast food is literally dumbing down the brain anyway. Any big crisis or catastrophe could wake too many people up. Sometimes I think, John, that's why they haven't crashed the economy yet. Some of us have been talking about, like, when is it going to happen? That day, you know, that when your ATM won't work. And it's like, you know, it's hard to say. It certainly looks like they're going to crash the economy. But also if they do it too quickly, because a lot of information out there as to what they're involved in and their plans for martial law, it could wake too many people up. Too many bushfires could get started in the minds of men. And so I kind of look at that to a certain degree as why they haven't fully collapsed the whole house of cards. And we got about 3 more minutes till the break.
Okay, well, that's a challenge. It's another perspective. Nothing's absolute. So that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is we're being victimized today. You know, hedge fund managers walking away with $1 trillion. He doesn't care about the New World Order. He's already made his take. And it's all those policemen pensions that are zeroed. You know, like we can base fears in what's going to happen tomorrow when they're going to destroy the economy and all the New World Order global elites are going to really have their way with us. We're being sacrificed today, you know. We have poison in our food. I call this health food, or Canada Health Food and Safety. I talked to the head scientist for Canadians Health Food and Safety. I said, look, I'm looking at the science of what is contained in aspartame. Do you disagree with any of these scientific findings? He said, no. I said, well, why don't you release a statement saying that this will be formally banned from Canada because it's a deadly poison, toxic, makes people sad.
What all does aspartame do to you? Sounds like you probably got the facts because it's a number of different ways that it's going to affect the pineal gland for one thing.
It does a lot of things. It doesn't help you to lose weight. It causes your body to crave carbohydrates. But, you know, it breaks down to formaldehyde and stink poison and a number of other toxins that are there to hurt ourselves. But I asked him, do you disagree with this? And he goes, no. I go, well, why can't you do anything about it? I can't, he said. You know, if that happens, Monsanto's going to sue our country, and we're going to go to the court of the World Trade Organization. I'm going to lose my job. They'll find another guy here to do this job without any challenges at all, and nothing will get done, and I'll lose my job. You know, and I watched a documentary a little while ago talking about all these Canadian scientists who tried to tell Canada that bovine growth hormone in American milk is toxic and poisonous and causes you cancer. Do not drink American milk. This is the scientific reality. They give out the studies for Canadians to look at. All of Canada says, okay, we're banning this poison. This poison cannot come into our country. But all these guys, it turned out, all got fired. All those people.
Speaking of people trying to stand up for our liberties here in the United States, Michael Barrett and Eric had a heart attack this week right after attending some sort of a meeting or something pertaining to legislation pertaining to raw milk. And right shortly afterwards, this meeting or get-together on raw milk, his part to help legalize it, you know, there are some issues with that and their attack on healthy foods. So they push poisons down your throat. He had a heart attack, so definitely give him your prayers. I don't know what his state of health is. John, we're going to go out to break here in about 30 seconds, then I'm going to get back to the news. Go ahead with what you're saying.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just wrap it up. You know, justice is ours. Demand 9/11 investigations to be reopened because Bush and Cheney closed them, undermining our FBI officers that are trying to defend ourselves here. Make an effort, people. Please pick up a phone. Call George Norrie. That's where all our answers lie, being able to speak on a national level for open challenge, where you just go, look, anybody disagree for, fluoride's a poison? Call up, because they won't come. They're hiding in darkness. I'm telling
exactly.
you, they rob us of our values, and they don't exist much. Okay, we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week, and there are answers everywhere.
All over the place. There are certainly answers. Sometimes you'll find them in the most unlikely spot.
We'll be back in a few and cover some more headlines, breaking headlines from this week.
Yes, indeed. And here we are back again. Let me take John in Canada. Hello, John.
Hey, Rick. Another great day for battling evil it is, eh?
It is.
You know, if there is a order to the universe and intelligence, timeless intelligence that is a property of ourselves, let's just call it God for the moment, it's in our interest to treat ourselves equitably because that way everybody wins. And as every founder of every major religion has taught us through what they call the golden rule, that's the secret to everything. You know, all it is treat the other person fairly. But we're in a position where we're committing, as a government, terrible crimes against innocent others. You know, Obama has suggested that the enemy in Afghanistan is the evil Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Well,
yes.
They've legalized raping women. They've legalized starving women. Are you a man out there? Would you agree to starving innocent women or raping them? Because that's what they've made legal. They're pushing heroin openly. Karzai's brother is the biggest heroin pusher on the face of this planet. And heroin is a terribly addictive narcotic. You try it once or twice and you're hooked for the rest of your life. And it can really destroy yourself. Is that a good thing? They say they're battling to bring us freedom or bring democracy. Why can't you stand up to defend a woman's rights today? They don't. You know, they put a Christian to death, Rick, just because he believed in Christ. And Christ, the Mother Mary, is the or Mother Mary particularly, is a significant part of the Quran. I mean, she's mentioned over and over and over again. The Lord is mentioned in all religions. It's all the same God suffering here for our failures to communicate effectively. I mean, it isn't brain rocket science. It isn't. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know. Let's defend innocent people's rights. Instead, they're going forsaken all over the place. You know, as you know, Rick, on a regular basis, the government of Israel steals an innocent person's home. Well, that's a crime. You're not being anti-Semitic. You're not being anti-Jewish. You're saying, look, I want to stand up for the interests of this innocent person. That's what a real Jewish person would do. And if we look at Scripture, it says, look, the people in Israel, you know, if you want to apply the scripture to today, anyway, they're not Jews. They call themselves Jews, but they're not. You know, they're the synagogue of Satan. They've pirated the label of Jew and are committing criminal offenses on a daily basis, which they do in our faces.
Yes.
You know, if you're aware, Rick, they've said, oh, the Goldstone Report, all Americans are banned to even discuss the matter in public, in governmental affairs, and they voted on that. And it's been passed that you're forbidden to discuss the matter. But you ask them, do you disagree with any of the findings in that report? Of course not. You know, they deny us the privilege of just openly discussing the interests of all parties. Israel admits to breaking the truce with Gaza and indiscriminately slaughtering these people. Did you hear, Rick? They told all the people in Gaza, go to the city center and you'll be safe. So all the people thought, well, okay, well, we'll go to the city center. And what do? They bomb them all, burn them up with white phosphorus as enemies of life. They're enemies of all religious groups. Every Jew should be screaming in outrage for these innocent lives forsaken. And so not only Jews, Christians should be screaming also. You know, it's a travesty against God here to be killing people in Afghanistan when none of the alleged suspects, were even Afghani or even Al Qaeda. None of the 19 everybody should understand this. None of the 19 hijackers were even alleged to be Al Qaeda because that was their strategy to get in there to begin with and rob us for their blind escape in the PNACers who truly need to be arrested.
As usual, John, you've summed it up so well. Thank you so much for your call from up north, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And, ladies and gentlemen, we got some more email, but we don't have time to share it tonight. But I thank all of you.
They act with impunity. They don't care about the consequences because they have retroactive immunity, which came from the Bush administration.
Well, there's a lot of real terrorists out there. There's no doubt about it. Our foreign policy has a bad, bad habit of breeding blowback. And that's what the CIA calls it when you piss a bunch of people off and you start using drones to indiscriminately kill people. You start working with the Taliban and giving them transponders that they can put on all of their other rival drug dealers' homes so that the United States comes by and blows them up. It creates a lot of angst and animosity. Rightfully so. So we are creating real terrorists that we will have to deal with down the line. Just like Zbigniew Brzezinski, you know, giving those rifles and training the Mujahideen, radicalizing them so that they would fight the Ruskies. Seemed like a good idea. Yes, it was all secret, but now, you know, it's come out and the guy defends the actions. And so nobody actually ever stops and thinks about, well, what were the repercussions? Well, now we have the Al-Qaeda. The dirty, dark, shadowy enemy that can never be defeated, and we have to go all over the world and just blow the hell out of the Middle East and torture innocent people, goat herders, and that's going to make the world safer for all of us. I mean, so many people are living in this la-la land delusion that, you know, I don't even really know how to articulate the lack of sense and the out of touchness that people have with what's really going on. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines here. We got John in Canada patiently waiting. John, what's your take?
Well, gentlemen, pretty much what you're saying. You know, these guys do not have a concern to fight for just causes. They're looking for unjust reasons to keep the wars going. They're not concerned about nabbing the 9/11 bad guys because it eats into their profit margins of indiscriminately torturing ourselves or murdering us. Like, the cases are almost endless. I mean, there's all kinds of craziness transpiring today, apparently, from the White House. Obama is canvassing a prison in Thompson, Illinois, to house prisoners indefinitely without charge. That is called a crime against humanity. There is no other side to this argument. It's a form of hypnosis that people will fall into, hear him say that and go, well, you know, maybe you got to do that because, you know, what if we have no evidence against the accused and he's a completely innocent person? He'll escape. You know, there is no other side to this. He's taking a tyrannical position to undermine justice for ourselves. And, you know, if we don't form proper convictions on who's the for sure guilty parties, they end up escaping. And this is the thing about Colfer Black being a part of the Blackwater and the CIA interchanging titles whenever he sees fit.
Sure.
I mean, this guy has got no concern to getting, you know, Bush and Cheney for closing criminal investigations on 9/11. No, instead he tortures Khalid Sheikh Mohammed unendingly and perhaps rapes his children too to get him to confess to every terrorist crime that's occurred in the last 20 or so years. And they're legitimately putting this in front of ourselves as tyrants, as the enemies of freedom and justice and liberty, of which
are you talking about people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed that admitted to bombings that he couldn't have possibly committed because he was in U.S. custody? I mean, you know, these people, time again, they are just brainwashed. I mean, we saw so many of these cases, these terrorists, they bring out for the show trials, and the guys are obviously drugged out of their minds. They admit to things that they couldn't have done. And the American people don't question it at all. They're like, hey, we got the bad guy. We got the bad, bad guy. Now, you know, now my children.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Cheney. Yeah, I was just going to say that's what Cheney said to on Fox News. He was saying, look, we don't need to try these people. We already know they're the world's most dangerous terrorists. They need to be executed. You know, and Cheney is trying to escape his proper convictions for the treasonous actions he's repeatedly taken. I mean, again, the privatization of the military starts with Cheney. He's the guy who came up with this ingenious idea. And interestingly, you know, with Blackwater and CIA interchanging titles as Colfer Black and Richler, the other guy, you know, they'll get the CIA to contract the Blackwater to load the drones with weapons. I mean, you have to hire a private contractor to put the weapons on the drones. Well, no, but they didn't pick and choose which indiscriminate groupings of people to murder, though, they say. But we did pay them to load the weapons on the the weaponry. But I mean, this is what Cheney is. I mean, he privatized the armies for fuel transports. You had to have a transport of fuel with the convoy. No matter what, it has to be there. So Cheney says, well, we're going to privatize that out. Well, we still have to, you know, it just eats into all the money that you're having to expend to give fuel to the military convoy, which is like they're eating like 60% last time I heard. 60% of expenditures on fuel go into the pockets of KBR, the whole concept introduced by Cheney himself. He doesn't want us to understand that. And plus, where are these guys on justice serving ourselves equitably when it comes to, you know, more than a million people losing, or it's more than 3 million people losing their homes? You know, the economy's being undermined by these banksters walking away with trillions, and we shouldn't be lost here. We should be able to figure this out, and I don't know. We got to do it. Truth has got to prevail here, or we're all going to die, I guess. I don't know. We're going to fall victim? No. I say no. I say we got to defend these innocent torture victims as if they're just assuredly to be ourselves. If you're going to say we're going to keep innocent people in an American prison without trial, indefinitely hold them, it could be, and you'll comfort yourself, it's just Al-Qaeda. Well, they can grab any American off the street and say he's Al-Qaeda because there's no longer a proof to identify who the assailant or the victim here is. You're no longer having to establish a person's reason for being in the facility to begin with. So you can have private prisons taking in prisoners without any charges. That's the lowest of the low.
You're absolutely right, John. We're coming to a quick break. But Charlie, you're right. They had farmers that they had in jail for years and finally let them go after they proved them innocent. I mean, it's ridiculous. Stay with us.
Number. Let's go to John in Canada. John, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, like you say, you know, it's all a big scam. You know, these guys, they don't have any ideas for alternative energy. You know, it's going to be run through the UN. And all you got to do is cite the, you know, the Iraq Development Fund, for example. They had all Iraqi resource or all Iraqi assets put into one account. And Bremer just stole all the cash from himself, $19 billion he pocketed, walked out of there. And nobody at the UN complained about it. Nobody called the cops of them killing the people in Iraq. Or when they were responsible for issuing contracts through the Oil for Food program, the UN, the officials from Britain and the U.S., would pay themselves $38,000 every time they signed a contract to make a purchase. $30. Nobody ever called the cops then either.
No.
You know, they're a bunch of thieves that don't represent our interests. So, but anyway, my point there is they don't offer alternatives. If you're saying that there's a big problem with carbon emissions, why do you want to give special rights to oil companies to get favors to pump out even more? You know, the carbon credit idea is the wealthy companies will be able to get special privileges. Well, the guy who has to drive the car to work is going to be paying extra taxes to the Rothschilds and company.
Right, but Shell Oil is going to get tax breaks, though, on the other hand, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. And Shell Oil, I mean, there's another super easy company to defeat almost instantly. They're the company that was found criminally complicit. They were the principal aggravator in commissioning attack helicopters to mow down innocent families in Nigeria who are complaining about mercury toxicity next to their school system. So, yeah, they have to be arrested. But, again, these are lawless entities.
John, hold on. Take a breath, my friend. The thing is that I love your phone calls, but you go from one thing to another, and I like to comment on one thing at a time, if I may. The fact is that Shell, I believe, came out and said, well, we're really sorry for, the launching attack helicopters on people. It was inadvertent. But, you know, you brought up an interesting point, though, about there's no solutions, and there aren't any solutions because there aren't any solutions to a problem that we have no control over in the first place, as far as I can see, okay? And I know Sean agrees with that, but here's the thing, okay? Think about how silly this all is. Just today, they were talking about Obama having his little job seminar. Have you heard about this one? Has the news in Canada informed you about this? We had a job seminar. Okay. The United States. Thomas said, he goes,
yeah, well, you know, you can't compete again.
Go ahead. I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say that you can't compete against slave labor. There was a time when you had tariffs on trade. Well, that's a big subject.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know what you guys but you can't compete against slave labor.
Yeah, but my point is this, John. Okay, here's my point. Obama, what's the first thing that the media publishes this morning about this so-called job seminar? You know what they say? They said, Obama says, look, I'm open to suggestions. So in other words, they have this seminar and nobody has any ideas anyway. We open to suggestions from who? Me? You want me to raise my hand? Can I come and say, Mr. Sotero? Yeah, you, the guy over there with the goatee? Yeah, yeah. Well, you had a seminar and you don't have any suggestions as to what to do for jobs? How about bringing all our manufacturing back here and removing them from Mexico and China and, you know, Argentina or whatever? You know, I mean, what is this man saying? A world leader, okay? Barry Satoru, or Barack Obama, whatever you want to call him, okay, a.k.a., this man is saying, well, you know, hey, bring some suggestions to the table. I'm open to them. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was Bush that offered tax incentives for American companies to leave the country to profit further in military dictatorship-type structures because those protections were removed by Clinton, if you recall. For China, for example, you had a regulation that stood saying, you know, we will buy products from China, but you can't torture people or keep them in as prisoners slave labor. Clinton got rid of that. But for global warming, this is a suggestion. I've got an idea to give us free energy endlessly. All you got to do is get, you know, the pressure. If you take a pot and put it in a sink of water, you can see there's quite a bit of pressure there. The oxygen that displaces the water creates a lot of pressure. So you get a huge 20-foot square, or not 20-foot square, 20-foot flat cubed buoy that's situated in the ocean. And you anchor that to the floor bed, or the bed of the ocean floor, and as the tide rises, the pressure could be immense. So through gear ratios, you'd have endless free energy for everybody forever because the power of the moon.
That's what I was going to say to you, John. I disagree with the fact that where you said they don't have a clue about alternative energy. They know very well that there's alternative energy out there. I mean, you take Tesla for instance. They knew about Tesla's technology. They still know about Tesla's technology and how he was harvesting electricity from the air. They also know the static electricity in the air. They also know about the technology of magnetic generators. They know about the technology of solar paneling, so on and so forth. There are plenty of other ways that they could be harvesting energy. It's just that they choose not to do it because there's no profit in that.
And that's all old technology, by the way, too. I mean, it's really all old technology. This is nothing new. Yeah, it's the beginning of last century, really.
Mm-hmm. We're being robbed.
Well, of course we are. We're being robbed, we're being duped, and we're being sold a bill of goods under the guise, as far as I'm concerned, of the UN taking charge. That's what I'm saying, John.
Absolutely, Jimmy. Yeah. I mean, you know, Tesla was even able to put light bulbs in the ground at one stage and have them light up. His technology was second to none. He had an electric car all those years ago that was harvesting electricity through a Tesla coil-like setup from static electricity, if I'm not mistaken. Now, why haven't they taken this sort of technology and used it? It's because there's no profit in it. They can't charge people because people can harvest their own electricity. And I'm soon going to be having Mr. Green Energy, a common person in that listens to Oracle. He speaks about green energy all the time, and he knows a lot about these technologies. So hopefully we'll be able to get a good show going there.
Right. John, listen, we have to go to a break. You want to hang on the line? We'll bring you back up on the other side. Just sit tight for a moment.
I'm always trying to fight for justice in our world, and we got all these innocent victims everywhere going unaddressed. I mean, all the children are dying in Iraq just because we can't get them a clean glass of water. Well, more than $1 trillion has gone disappearing in one form or another to contractors who don't seem to care for anybody, including, well, whatever. But I wanted to just briefly go back to Tesla. You know, he seemed like such a tragic figure who had had so many incredible dreams about bringing our humanity out of the dark ages and providing everybody free electricity without power lines. It says, look, you can get free power right in your house. This is going to be awesome, and I'm building the device to do it right now. And they started building it. And if people aren't aware, you know, they stole all his patents. And J.P. Morgan...
Yeah, Morgan took him down. Actually, it was John. It was Morgan that took him down.
Yeah.
I think Morgan was going to be funding him. Yeah. And then as soon as he found out that there would be no profit made on electricity that way, because people could, like this massive tower would have literally supplied whole cities with free electricity. Once Morgan realized that, he cut his funding. And Tesla really, literally did die a poor man because of this.
Yeah, oh, it's so terrible. And to think that it was discussed in the American political affairs of that day in the newspapers, where J.P. Morgan told America, that's right, I'm destroying this man because I do not want to give Americans the opportunity to have free energy. How am I going to charge you for it? And Americans acquiesced in silence or the apathy of whatever we're suffering with even today to not do anything. I mean, people just, there wasn't leadership then as there isn't now to say, well, listen, that would be wrong, J.P. Morgan, and maybe we should put you in jail for treason against God and humanity. Like, I mean, why would you take that position? And he did it publicly to say, yeah, we're not going to let people have free energy. I want to suck the blood out of you and so you're just barely surviving as it is today. You know, the bailouts, people might, yeah, I might have told you this already, but J.P. Morgan had more than $1 trillion in capital throughout the entire so-called crisis. You know, they're saying, we got to bail out these bankers, and they have J.P. Morgan had more than $1 trillion in capital. Like, what do you mean? It's all a lie. They're scamming us still. We're failing, unfortunately, because of whatever reason, to effectively protect ourselves from these shysters who, you know, are denying us all the incredible privileges that we have. It's just we haven't been able to organize ourselves well enough to demand justice. The first thing we got to do is stop the wars. We got to arrest Bush because he stopped investigations on 9/11, according to the FBI. If we can't trust the FBI, we can't trust anybody. And they're saying they can't pursue the culprits. And I just learned a little while ago, you know, you remember the recordings they had of the cell phone conversations of, they alleged that people on the plane were phoning family and friends down below. Of course, it's impossible. Cell phones at that time weren't capable of doing that. But I've just recently discovered that some of those families, and I'm sure it's universal, who received the bills from the cell phones of the victims, found there were no recordings of phone calls made from the planes. Again, solid evidence showing that there's a huge conspiracy to commit mass murder against the American citizenry to profit further off our sufferings with warmongering against Afghanistan that's completely uninvolved in the crime of questions, of no questions, I should say, like, why is liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water, for example? I mean, somebody put explosives in the building without doubt because we have enough video. Video doesn't lie. There's the truth right there. But, you know, and what are we missing? Only somebody on CNN to say that and go, look, we need an investigation started immediately. That's all we need. Can you imagine? The whole humanity could change overnight by just one person, particularly a soldier, would be best.
Yeah, but you know what? John, if you could get CNN to do that, that would be a miracle.
I really want to thank you for your call. We've got a loaded phone board here. Let's go ahead and bring up John in Canada. John, come on up. Join the group here.
Hey, gentlemen, how's it all going? Pretty good, I guess. Yeah, I wanted to bring up your earlier discussions on law. The authority that is exercised by our courts is, of course, ourselves. It's our own acquiesced authority that we've given to ourselves on hopes that just actions will be taken in our courts. And as you're saying, a lot of things are unjust, and this is the nature of it. I mean, we can see, for example, people who lost their homes criminally through some of this banker fraud, when they went to court and said, well, look, the bank sold my deed a long time ago in these mortgage security scams. They don't even hold the paper to this property any longer. They bought it and sold it twice over. I don't owe them a thing. They can't even prove they hold the deed to this land. I want this case thrown out. The government put in a special law that says it's a special circumstance. Banks don't have to establish that they hold the title to your property on mortgages that they've lost complete control of. So that's an unjust thing, but yet our courts are operating that way. But yet still, because they're premised on our authority, a situation such as my own, it was George Bush, Rumsfeld, and Ariel Sharon in March 2002 that were part of an arrest warrant for myself here in Canada. And I was kind of excited about it. I was my own lawyer, and I had to do some quick studies about motions and things, and got put the biggest motions of my case initially as my own lawyer, and ended up winning my case. Even though you go, well, they hold all the power in the universe, and you're just a single man. Well, my case was really easy. You know, Bush gave us zero evidence to form a guilty verdict against Bin Laden. Therefore, he's a false accuser. Plus, he's closed police investigations on nabbing the actual bad guys. So the case was huge, the biggest case in Canadian history, three crowns minimally in the courtroom at all times. They couldn't argue around me. They just couldn't get around it. There's just no way, because it's a fact. And this is the nature of seeing unjust actions taking place in our courts. And like you say, they get their language can get really complicated where we can't even make out what they're saying in some of the decisions that are made. But when we're talking about real people's lives and dollars and cents and measurable facts that nobody can contend with, like, I mean, it was Bush's position that he has no evidence, you know, and the investigations were closed. So I just said, well, listen, oh, I did a lot of things. I mean, it was a long court case, but I ended up winning. And I mean, because the court is to some degree accountable to the public. There is, you know, they were maybe concerned that they had to make the fair decision in the court. Otherwise, everybody would see it and know that, well, I guess Bush is the president of Canada also, where we don't have rights being respected. And we didn't, and Canada would, hopefully, will never go in that direction. But we see today, you know, innocent people being tortured in our names. And they're saying, well, it's a just action, Obama's claimed in his speech last go-around. It's ridiculous. It's not just. He's conning us. He's undermining our abilities to effectively defend ourselves for real freedom. You know, and this was the shocker of all shocks, because there have been all these battles in human history, Hammurabi, you know, the Magna Carta and the Bill of Rights, to establish just these super basic principles that were completely vanished from the scene when Bush said, we don't need any evidence, we know he's guilty. Well, what about the Magna Carta? What about the Bill of Rights? What about Hammurabi? What about all these wars? And all of it's missing. Nobody understood or understands anything, because I guess, as we have witnessed, a lot of people are affected by suggestion. You know, we're not going by established facts to form conclusions. We just are told by Bush that Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in, and nobody on TV would correct him. Nobody on the radio except a small cadre of patriots would argue against his position. But we were, you know, I think law can be a good thing is what I'm trying to get at. It doesn't have to be bad. It is the only way we're going to ever preserve our freedoms is following some form of rules to defend ourselves equitably.
Well, let me jump in there, John, and ask this question. Was there a court decision? Is there something online that people could go and look at and see how what the court said and as a response to you?
Well, they ended up having to. I was just approaching the Supreme Court of Canada on a number of motions, so they had to throw it out. And it had almost gone a total. Or no, it was just under 5 years long, the trial, or the court. Processing the motions. The trial hadn't even begun yet, but they did everything. It was wicked. I mean, it's 5 years of massive stacks of paperwork and paper. I had boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. But the main motion I had that was really got my defense going really well was an order of production.
Okay, hold it right there on that order of production, folks. We're going to a break. When we come back, we'll pick up Lark as well and get Lark's comment on it. Stay tuned, everybody. We will be right back in 3 minutes. You wanted it, you got it. Oracle Unleashed. Mike Chambers, William Roberts, Lark in Dallas, Texas, and John in Canada. Let's go back to Lark in Dallas. Lark, you've been listening patiently. What do you make of all of this stuff? What do you think about these timelines? What do you think about all these court cases?
Well, before I studied communitarianism, I studied authoritarianism. And I remember being impressed by a book I read called The Guru Papers, Masks of Authoritarian Power. I think there's quite a lot to the occultic world. I think it's for sure on the ascendant. However, I think that here's my take on it. My thinking is that in terms of our understanding of the dialectic and how it can work against us in actuality, I think some people that are doing some good work on this are Rebecca Carley and Patrick Jordan. His book, The King James Diversion, is quite interesting. I'm always guided by the word lie that is buried in the word belief.
Exactly.
If you recall, I brought up that word utilitarian. I don't particularly like labels because, in fact, I reject all labels. If somebody wants to call me a taxpayer, I say, you know,
well, I have no income. How could I be taxable? You know, somebody wants to say I'm a consumer. Well, that's your right to say it, but it's not my word to attach to myself, because quite frankly, attachments can be your enemies, just like words can be your enemies. And yeah, so
that's the
I
idea.
Think there's quite tyranny. A lot.
That's the idea of this tyranny of words. I said that's the idea that you brought up in the tyranny of words.
Absolutely. And so I think that words, of course, are nothing more than constructs of language. Language is a form of authoritarianism. And so we have to, as individual human beings, just recognize that words can work as much for us as against us. But one thing that we don't need is we don't need to be piling a lot of words, because if we're having to deal with a lot of these language constructs, which are only man-made, then we're going to lose our souls, because we're not connected to ourselves at all, our true selves, before we were indoctrinated.
I agree with that, because you know, in what Ed was bringing up, and John, you can pipe in on this too, and Mike as well. What Ed was bringing up was this idea of the occult nature of the new world order, if you will. And certainly, numerology has been big on. They've been big on that. Gematria, the counting of letters and words in texts and things. Leo Strauss was really big into that. I think that Albert Pike was deep into it as well, and many of the other occultists are too. But when we look at words, you know, our words shape our realities. We know what a wood stove is because maybe we've seen one, or maybe we got burnt by one or something. We know what a gas range is. Maybe we've had one in our homes. We know what an electric range is. We know what the sink is. But we know all these things by words. And so if you take away all of those words, then we have to fumble around and stumble around. But inevitably, we'll start creating words ourselves. But remember the power of words in all things. Because this is the work of the spellcaster, Mike.
Oh yeah, most definitely, and they do play these, play the numbers and love the numbers. And I think in some of the conversations I've had with a number of people, especially regarding the Bible, I said, don't you think these people read the back of the book too?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that stymies a lot of people, because they're going, wait a minute, hold on, yeah, sure they have.
Absolutely, and so a lot of the. Rebuke, I guess, of the Bible is that when people look at these things and they study these things and they say, well, see, it's all happening right now around us, and then somebody go poo-poo to that. But we do need to understand that they know this stuff intimately. As I mentioned on my broadcast the other morning, they know this in Aramaic. They know it in Greek. They know it in Hebrew as well, even Paleo-Hebrew. They also know it in German. They also know it in Swiss. They also know it in the language, all of the languages, Latin, every language that it has been written in. They know that. We're cribbing along, always coming behind the eight ball, trying to catch up. And so when you know the story intimately, and you know the definitions of all of the words and the terms and the meanings of all of the verses, and you know the histories of it, that's where I came to an impasse in my studies, because after having studied the Bible all my life, then all of a sudden I started studying the Bible. You change the definite article. We start studying the book. And so they've studied this book, and they've studied it intimately, and they're using it as a dividing stone, if you will, a sword of double edge. And what they can do with this is basically cleave the people. But now, whether Ed had something going or not, I'll talk to him. We'll figure it out. There's a lot to 2012. There's a lot to this. I started coming on to 2012 through the same sort of a study perhaps that Ed's done. I did a timeline, and it got me really into time and to understand time. So I did histories of time from Yale, from Oxford, and all the books that I could gather, and studied everything I could about time. And I put together a timeline, Mike, and I came up with 2017 as an exceedingly important date, plus or minus 5 years. Well, the minus was 2012. The plus is into the 2020 periods. And so I started to figure out, well, what is 2012? That's when I found out the Mayan calendar there and all of that. But I also made the connection with the Green Cross International, Mikhail Gorbachev, and all of that. And that's where I started studying that direction. So absolutely, it's part of the program. We need to understand it. I think you're right, Lark. We do need to definitely be very careful about appending words and labels to ourselves. I like to think of myself as a man, and I relate to the creator of the universe as the creator, and then things begin there in the natural law and move out from that. Let's go to John in Canada. Let me bring John up and get his take on this. Let's see. Here we go. Come on. Here we go. John in Canada, yeah. Your take on this.
Yeah. Oh, holy mackerel, man. Boy, that's a lot of stuff. Words aren't inherently tyrannical, or just as our thoughts aren't. They can be expressed to our detriments. Particularly, criminals always want to escape, right? So they're going to cheat us out of a fair version of events that transpired. They don't want the truth to prevail because they'd go to prison or we'd get our money back and so on. Bush, of course, when he told us Saddam wouldn't let the inspectors in, again, another example. I mean, it's just that he's able to say those words, and so many people are affected by suggestions of the figure that must be so, because it's not on TV and it's going completely unchallenged. So we are affected by that. There's an order to chaos. What's chaos without order? Order is a function of the universe, and no cause is separate from existence ourselves. So we're a part of absolutely everything. And physics teaches us this too, that electromagnetic energy exists, is sort of in a place, not really, but whatever, for lack of better terminology for the time, it exists everywhere, beyond our conceptualizations of distance and time, because we can put two atomic clocks 40 miles apart, or they have the quantum entanglements is another way of measuring this phenomenon. Einstein called it the spooky effect. But we understand that all energy exists timelessly as a property, a consciousness of which we're not separate from. So the conceptualizations of God's presence as order through chaos can be actually, I believe anyway, can be understood and communicated to others that it's in our interest to treat ourselves equitably. And it comes back to these really simple ideas. You know, like Hammurabi, he was so respected by everybody just because he said, look, anybody who falsely accuses another for a capital offense who has no evidence, we're just going to immediately execute. Does anybody disagree with that? And I'm not saying that's a good thing to do necessarily today, but you can understand that really brought order to civilization. It was the fundamental building block of our first go at civilization, where everybody went, yeah, that makes sense. Because we've got all these false accusers everywhere blaming everybody.
Time in itself, John, is a curiosity. One of the things that I came into in all of that study were these three fundamental criteria of an understanding of the illusion of time. First of all, you need to have an observer. Without an observer, it's a moot point. But an interesting thing about that is that the observers can be changed. The second thing, the basic criteria that you need to have some form of measure, some agreed upon unit of measure. The unit of measure can change, but the observer has to let the next observer know that they changed the unit of measure. Periodically in our history, we've lost both any record of the observer and the unit of measure. The third thing that we need to understand really about time, in order to bring it out of illusion and make it real to us, to realize it, is it has to have a point of beginning and it has to have a point of ending. If it doesn't have a point of beginning, then it's like a ray in mathematics. It just goes on endlessly in one direction. If it goes off the other direction, then it just goes off endlessly in that direction. If it goes in both directions, then you have this Mobius flip, and then you start coming into this recirculation of the time. So the whole thing gets really complex. We'll be back on the other side of this break, folks. Five more to come. Your calls are welcome. 866-1-6. Let's get Lark's final comments of the evening. Lark?
Well, they're hiding quite a bit from us, that's for sure, and they have for a long time. I think they have to depopulate the planet simply because they just don't want to release the technology that could allow a new flourishing of civilization to occur, because the occultic forces are too evil, if you will. They don't want to share. They really want to have it all to themselves, and then they want slaves to attend to them. You know, Alice Bailey spoke of the externalization of the hierarchy. But without being too wordy, let me leave you with just an acronym tonight or this morning, and it relates to Sun Tzu's Art of War. The acronym ART, if it was an acronym, attention to reputation earns one's trust.
Absolutely good one.
War.
It's done.
War, if it was an acronym, wariness about repercussions.
wariness about repercussion. And so this, to me, is the wow factor that guides me in some respects, because WOW, of course, is also an acronym because it's the war on words.
Well, there's certainly a lot of that. There certainly is. And, Lark, you've added a lot to this broadcast today. I really appreciate your calls, and I appreciate your hanging in there with us throughout the broadcast. And we look forward to next time and certainly during the week. Anytime and every time, just pick up the phone, let your fingers do the walking, and join us on Oracle Broadcasting. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm going to say goodnight to you now and go and pick up our caller, John, in Canada for final words. John?
Well, I liked a lot of what he just said. War is a failure to communicate. It's a failure of a breakdown. We know, Bush wanting to get into Afghanistan is running away from accountability on 9/11 and subsequent then Iraq. And the plan was 60 countries, if we recall. They're just going to keep warring countries and we'd never be able to get our footing as a way of escape. But I don't think it's going to go for that much longer. I think we're going to figure out our weaknesses in linguistics and what we can prove scientifically as a benefit. I watched World of Monsanto, a documentary on the internet, and it's horrific what these guys are doing to the people in India. They've bought all the seed companies, and then they quadruple the costs for them to farm, and they can't use the seeds over again. They got to keep paying Monsanto. It's a crime against humanity, man, and it's they're getting no benefit in yields either. And it's poison, and there's no science to support their theories. And when scientists do speak out against them, they're fired. And the documentary is fantastic, just highlighting this, that for Larkin's term, an evil force in our world that isn't committed to do something good for ourselves, but to cheat us and to leave us as dead victims in many cases as it pertains to war. Lastly, maybe on the concepts of God, an interesting thing that I've thought of, as you were alluding to, the concept of time being ever-present, I actually believe I would say that I believe that is our true nature. To understand what is explained, though, is at the exclusion of something else. So when you say something is black, you're it's a linear statement. It's it goes the one way. But any statement we make is at the exclusion of something else. If it's black, that means it's not white. She was this way, but that's art. And it can be any expression that we want. But it's always at the exclusion of something to make an expression. And the nature of God is all that timelessly complete as a part of ourselves. So that's how I think of God. And our interests should be neutral if we could communicate well enough to go, hey, we want justice. We want to be treated fairly. And our world could be such a better place for the effort. And I think we will succeed, and Oracle will be there most undoubtedly. Keep up the good work, guys, and we'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks for calling in, John. Always a great call, and we really appreciate it. Well, Mike, we've been all over the plate today. There's no doubt about it. We do have, good listeners. We have good callers. Lots of topics have been brought up. I would hope that, we would be able to, impart in all of this discussion the free and open interchange of minds. When we think about politics, folks, the idea of dividing the people along party lines, is absolutely ludicrous. If we can, understand that, discourse is absolutely essential, and that we can be on two sides of an issue and we can talk about those issues. And like I say, one group gets in one corner and hubba, 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 and the other group gets in the other corner and they hubba, hubba, hubba. They come back together again, and using parliamentary procedure or any other agreement that they might have amongst themselves, they come to a decision on an issue. But after they've done that issue, after they've resolved that issue, then they come back together in a group. And I think that we have been driven apart, divided as people, globally. It's not just the national hatreds and the national prejudices, but we've been separated, and there's an intentional separation. And I think that we can actually heal these wounds. How about you, Mike?
I agree, because when you break the human individual down, our wants, needs, and desires are the same, regardless of whether I'm living in a desert or I'm in a high-rise apartment. My wants, needs, and desires are all the same. I mean, we have the same basic needs, same basic wants. And we really are no different. It's just we may dress differently. We may pray differently or whatever. In essence, we are the same. And you're right. They've done such an effective job of keeping us apart, keeping us away from each other, where – we're afraid of each other to the point, because I mean, if you just look at the way they demonize different groups of people, like right now, if you're brown, if you're from the Middle East, you're essentially the devil at this point. Why? Because they told you so. They provide no evidence, none of that these people are bad, when in fact most of these people, all they want to do is live their lives, be left alone. What do you want? You want to live your life. You want to be left alone to live your life as you see fit. But they have to keep these divisions going, Will, to keep us at each other, because when we find each other and we start talking to each other, then we realize there are no real differences. And once people start to unite, and that's really what this is about, is people coming together as people, then we'll be, I think, be able to start claiming those things that truly are our birthright. And I think that's one of the things that they're hiding from us, exactly who we are, exactly those things that have been given to us, that they've kept from us, that we're not allowed to tap into at this point.
You know, there's a global order. It's called the natural law. And it's written in the heart of every man and every woman. If two people stumbled upon themselves in the wilderness, each of them individually were lost in their own journey. And they found each other, and one comes up to the one fellow and says, "Hey, can you help me out? I'm lost. I don't know where I'm at. Do you have a map, a compass?" And the other fellow says, "No, I was about to ask you." And then they start to work together to help to rectify their situation, whether it's be able to get back to this, you know, civilization or whatever. But the way that we've been set up in all of these last 6,500 years of history that I've looked at, Mike, is you would come and you would see somebody in the wilderness. The thing you're supposed to do, I guess, is to draw your sword because the other guy doesn't look like you. Rush over and try and kill him.
Yeah, exactly. But and if you just sit and talk, you find out, you're not so different. After all, and again, it comes back to this idea of communication and talking and speaking. And that's the one thing that they're so afraid of us controlling the debate, of anybody other than themselves controlling the discourse, the discussion. Because, again, once people find each other and they realize there's no difference, then every one of their paradigms crashes. And falls down.